The Guardian.
Hassan, do you think there's a failure to challenge problems of extremism on campus in Birmingham where you were a student?
Certainly, I think there's a failure of universities to not only challenge extremism, but to just admit that there is a problem when it comes to Islamic extremism on campus.
Why do you think there isn't an effective voice to oppose extremist viewpoints?
Well, in my experiences at the University of Birmingham, I just found that the university is unwilling to, firstly, admit that if a hate preacher is spoken by the Islamic Society, that the hate preacher is indeed someone who has extreme views. And secondly, it's the fact that the university has no mechanism no system in place which helps identify or challenge or even prevent radical extremism fermenting on campus.
Could you give me an example by the sort of speaker you're worried about?
Sure. About 2 weeks ago, the University of Birmingham Islamic Society hosted a man by the name of Jalal Ibn Said. Jalal Ibn Said is on the record of saying anti-Semitic words to his audience, and also he also sort of turned death and misery into a cult, and he sells that to his audience. Now, if there's anyone who knows anything about Islamic extremism, is that when Islamic extremists are very good at turning misery and death of other Muslims into a cult, and that is usually the first founding base of Islamism as an ideology. So the speaker, Jalal Ibn Said, he's also gone on the record to tell his audience that Muslims should isolate themselves from non-Muslims, that we should spend the rest of our lives simply praying to God and not at all sort of fitting into civic society. So, clearly this man is a radical. And yet when my concerns were given to the university, they just weren't interested.
You're saying there isn't an effective opposition to extremism within the university. So who does challenge it? Where does the opposition come from?
Well, the opposition usually comes from. When it comes to my university, whenever there's a radical speaker, it's usually the Jewish society, which will sort of flag up if this speaker happens to be anti-Semitic. Now, if this speaker isn't anti-Semitic and he has, extreme Islamist views, then it usually will be from outside the university. It will be organizations like Stand for Peace, organizations like the Quilliam Foundation or the Center for Social Cohesion, which will flag these speakers up, do the research that really the university should be doing, and then give that research over to the university and, almost educate them on who this sort of speaker is and should they really be coming into campus completely unchallenged. So most of the activism comes from outside.
Why did you become concerned about this in the first place, Hassan?
I became concerned because, a little bit about my background is I was brought up as a Sufi Muslim, and Sufi Muslims sort of take the Quran metaphorically, and we are quite liberal on our approach to sort of life and religion. But when I came to the University of Birmingham, it was quite clear that there was a very different version of Islam being sold to students. It was I got the feeling that this was a much more literal, much more hardline, sectarian driven version of Islam. And that's why there are plenty of Muslims like myself at universities, like the University of Birmingham, who wouldn't think twice about actually becoming an active member of the Islamic Society, because so many of these societies have been infiltrated by these hardline Muslims.
Do you have the opportunity to go and challenge views that you disagree with?
Well, sadly, there is no institution within campus where you know where a student can flag up speakers which may be dubious. So no, I can't. And also, when you consider that most of the guests that the Islamic Society host are non-violent Islamists who will pretty much talk to 20 or 25 members of the Islamic Society, then it doesn't really give the impression of an open and inclusive means of debate. It would most probably be provocative.
Couldn't you go to a meeting of the Islamic Society and challenge them there?
I could indeed go to a meeting of the Islamic Society, but the problem with that is I don't know when they have these meetings. And if they do have these meetings, the problem is that people like myself who are worried about Islamic extremism, we always find ourselves one step behind. So they'll announce the speaker, they'll do research on the speaker, find out most probably that the speaker is quite a nasty person. And then really from there, we have to go towards the university and the student union.
Isn't there still an opportunity for you to go, once you find out who they are, for you to go and sort of say you disagree with those views?
Indeed, there is an opportunity, but to be honest, I don't feel comfortable speaking to the Islamic Society. This is not just my view. Other people from different societies take this view. Because, this isn't the first time this has happened. If you look at the recent events at York, when we had a hate preacher there, when decent students did stand up to the Islamic Society, they were branded Islamophobes straight away. I sort of hesitate doing that because, in a way, by trying to start a discussion, the Islamic Society may close discussion and say, no, you know, you're wrong, we're right. And if you have a problem with that, you're an Islamophobe.
So do you think universities should ban these speakers?
I don't think universities should ban these speakers. I think universities should firstly educate themselves on what Islamism is. And secondly, they should let the Islamic societies know that, you know, this is not a freedom of speech issue. You know, this is a decency issue. And if you're going to allow, you know, these hate preachers in, then Islamic societies should be aware of how people are going to perceive them. But no, I don't think they should ban them. But certainly I think that they shouldn't be allowed such a free platform to remain completely unchallenged. But like I said, so many of the universities have such a weak countering of these extremist groups.
Are you sort of saying there's a middle position between banning them then and allowing them to speak? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, sure. That position would be, students like ourselves will be able to share the platform with the speaker, or indeed invite our own speaker, yeah, and turn a presentation into a debate. I think that would be a far more proactive way of dealing with extremism.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.